Now, this is the time in the show where we talk all things entrepreneurship. We've heard of the purple pound, we've heard of the pink pound, we've heard of the silver pound, but have we heard of the Muslim pound? Now, the halal economy is big business in the UK. It's worth around £800 million and rising, whilst the Halal Food Festival in London is held each year. Well, easy, you would assume then, for Muslim consumers to find restaurants which cater for halal food. Well, not according to our next guest. That's why Sadiqa Jaffa founded the Halal Dining Club in May 2015. Now, it's an app which aims to transform the halal dining experience for millions of Muslim diners around the world. I'm delighted to say that Sadiqa joins me now. And just last week, Sadiqa, I watched a film called 100 Foot Journey, and my impression of cumin and cardamom has changed exponentially. And apart from you sharing film star looks with many of the actresses who appeared in that film, what is your background? Were you a chef or a dietitian, perhaps?
Thank you, Sarah, for having me on the show. Unfortunately, no, nothing so fancy. My background is actually quite boring. It's in strategy and marketing consulting. So helping big brands understand how to launch new products and innovative products and take them to market. But I did grow up in a foodie household. And my mum is a fabulous cook. So that explains the obsession with food and, yeah, all things related to
it. So it's part of you, and you're mixing your business acumen with all the spices that you grew up with. Now, I'm assuming that it was a typical fare. It was not fish and chips, for example.
No, so my mum's quite experimental, so she likes to take and experiment with different cuisines. And I also was born in Kenya, which is a melting pot of cultures. So you've got Arab influences and Indian influences as well. And so we grew up with quite a unique cuisine, yeah.
So that melting pot that you've just described, has this all been incorporated into the Halal Dining Club? So what does it do? What does it represent? Who can join?
Sure. Okay. So the Halal Dining Club, the best way to explain it is a bit like TripAdvisor, but for halal restricted diners. And the problem I discovered sort of growing up and sort of traveling around Europe and in Asia as well, was that it was really difficult to find out whether the restaurant you were going to actually catered for your dietary restrictions or not. And it just got to the point where I was really frustrated, and there were apps for everything from reminding you how to breathe and counting your steps, but there wasn't something that really helped a massive segment of people who were on a daily basis thinking about where it was that they could possibly dine. So
we have to go back one step, because we mustn't assume that all our listeners know what halal means. So,
Sure. So
in terms of halal and its association with food, what are the main differences that we should be mindful of?
Okay, so halal is essentially, it just means permissible in Arabic, and it's the set of food or requirements that Muslim diners are allowed to eat, and that can range from everything from fish and vegetarian food through to meat. But there are some items that are restricted, basically. So you've got to make sure that there's no cross-contamination, in the same way as if you suffer from an allergy. You've got to just make sure that there's no cross-contamination between foods or ingredients that are permissible to you and food that isn't permissible.
So was it based on your own personal frustrations about not knowing whether your food was permissible that encouraged you to establish this?
Yes, absolutely. So I think it was the culmination of three things coming together. So one was I was actually doing a master's in innovation, and we were sort of thinking about problems that people live with on a daily basis because there wasn't a good solution to it. And that's a part of it was sort of an analytical perspective of going, actually, there's this massive market that is underserved and there's rising need for it, combined with a personal frustration as well. And at the same time, the need, as you say, we've talked about the silver pound in the past and so on. In the same way, businesses lack an understanding of who halal diners and Muslim consumers actually are. So I saw an opportunity to actually provide data on this consumer group to brands that might cater for them in the future.
So TripAdvisor relies on external, hopefully unbiased content. So are you finding that you set the template, you applied all this data, you told people where the halal-based restaurants are, and then did you invite reviews from the public?
Yes, absolutely. So what you can do on our website is discover restaurants. So we actually do a quite large part of our job is to curate that list of restaurants as well. So you are getting a good recommendation in the first place. And we apply lots of easy to use icons so that you immediately know, is this a restaurant that caters to my particular take on halal? So for example, where do I sit in terms of my preference in the same way as you would with an allergy, for example. And then on top of that, we invite reviews and you can also book your restaurants as well.
It's great for the restaurants as well, because in essence, you're providing them not with free marketing, but you're giving them a voice which they may not have had before.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest promises that we make to our restaurant partners who come on board is that we help make them visible, actually, the response that we're getting from them is great, because they know that lots of people go and knock on their doors and they ask before they enter the restaurant, is your food halal? And a lot of times they're not necessarily all equipped with the right answers. So increasingly, they're viewing the ability to come aboard on our platform as a great way to signal to people, yes, we can cater for you and our doors are open.
You're also providing them with language, because some people might not know how to articulate that they are, in fact, halal. Mm. And by going onto your website, they'll be educated as to not looking for stock phrases and answers, but knowing how they can reassure and it's all about their integrity as well, using the right language.
Absolutely. And what I've discovered and what's really fulfilling for me is being able to go into a restaurant and being able to educate them and say, actually, you can cater to this customer. So you don't need to turn that customer away. So, for example, yesterday we were in a seafood restaurant and the restaurant owner's first response was, no, we're not halal. I'm like, well, actually, yes, you are, because I've looked at your menu, I've looked at your ingredients and I've asked them what they cook with and so on. And everything that you say means that you are permissible. So
it's a beautiful, beautiful story. But all stories need a bit of financing so that we write the next chapter. And you raised money through crowdfunding. Was it £150,000 that you raised?
That was our initial target. We actually ended up exceeding that in a week and we ended up raising £210,000.
So were you surprised by the traction?
We had worked hard in sort of lining people up, as it were, before and sort of testing the crowd. So we had confidence that we would get to our target, but it was a very pleasant surprise to overachieve our target. And we did it all in a week as well, which was fabulous.
So I'm slightly annoyed that I missed the boat on this. I mean, did you offer any benefits or packages, or was it purely and simply, we're going to do this, it's for the benefit of the consumer and the restaurants, and that's your lot type thing?
So Crowdcube works on an equity basis. In other words, we give shares away in our company. So it was very much an investor decision to say, you know, be part of our growth, invest now and hopefully get returns in the future. So all our investors own a piece of our company.
So that's when the complications start, when you've got shareholders on a big sort of roster. You know, that's when you've got to start including legal teams and accountants. Is that, would you say, the biggest challenge of the Halal Dining Club as it is now?
Actually, no. I think that's pretty much under control. I'm lucky to have a very good lawyer who happens to be a very good friend as well. So that's great. And I've also got great accountants on board as well. So I don't think that's the part that's challenging. What's challenging for us is the marketing job. You know, so I don't know if you watched The Apprentice last year, but there was a lady on who wanted to do a dating app and everybody was talking about how expensive apps are to build. So for us, by far the biggest cost at the moment is the cost of the technology platform. And combined with the budget that you need to allocate for that, at the same time, the budget that you need to allocate for marketing, the trickiest part is how you juggle that cash flow and make sure that your revenues are coming in at the same speed as your money's going out.
Also, there's a personal challenge as well. And I'm thinking about time, because you have children.
I do.
And not just one, not just two. You have three. Is that right? There's no more than that,
yes.
Is there?
No.
It's a lot of mouths to feed, but I know of a very good app that could cater to their taste.
That's right.
So you're a working mum. Mm-hmm. You've started this superb initiative. You started it in May 2015 and the momentum has, you know, here we are almost 2 years later. How do you juggle the work-life balance?
Sure. So this is one of those questions that you wonder whether it would get asked to dads or not. But fair enough. Yeah, I've always worked. So my children have always seen me as a working mum. And I suppose it's just been ingrained. And you develop sort of coping mechanisms and a very strict schedule of how everything needs to get done. I think you just end up being super efficient. But as all mums will tell you, that when you're trying to work full time and having a startup is literally a 24/7 job. You know, it's not like you get weekends off. It's almost like my fourth baby, to be honest. So, yeah.
I suppose the toughest question is the one I'm going to ask you now, which is, was your initiative a solution to meal times if you were working?
That's a good point. I didn't think of it that way. No, it wasn't. We are big foodies. We do like to dine out and experience new cuisines. It was literally a case of I reached a point in my career where I wanted to do something that was meaningful and had a positive impact. So for me, the ability to solve a daily pain point for a massive group of consumers was one thing. The ability to help restaurant owners grow their business was the second thing. And the third is that we also have a charity point scheme. So the ability to feed people who are in need of food and water was the third kind of motivating factor. And we managed to combine all of that into the Halal Dining Club. And I think with that sort of passion and belief in what we're trying to do and for it to make a positive impact, you probably wouldn't have the drive because it's not an easy journey.
Okay. Community, children, cuisine, it's cross continents as well. I understand that you've this app isn't just for the UK, it's for Singapore as well. So let's talk about the app. Can the app be used by anyone? But I'm going to use it. Rhetorical question.
Absolutely. So one of the wonderful things is we've been quite good on social media, on Facebook, and building our following. And I actually had people reach out to me and say, this is awesome. There might be sort of interracial marriages. So one of my bosses, for example, she's a Yorkshire lass and had got married to a Parisian whose mother happens to be Muslim. So she's like, when she visits, we really don't know where to take her, but I'm going to use your app now and you've solved a massive problem for us. So she's not confined to this one Turkish restaurant, you know, for the rest of her life. So absolutely anybody can use it.
Do we pay? Is it expensive?
No, it's absolutely free for diners. And in fact, we reward you. So the more you use it, the more money you raise for charity, which is awesome. So.
It's perfect. And briefly, how would you describe the Muslim pound about how important it's becoming to the UK economy?
So as you said at the top of your segment, it is a big economy. And if you take it to a global context, the halal economy was worth 1.6 trillion last year. What's most impressive about it is that that's going to grow to 2.6 trillion in the next 6 years. That's a phenomenal amount of growth. And what we're seeing in the UK is sort of a millennial consumer base that's becoming more affluent, more professional, and want to spend money on dining out.
I'm hungry. And with that, Sadiqa Jaffa, thank you very, very much indeed for joining us. I'm ravenous, and it's all your fault. Nothing
thank
to
you.
Do with a lack of good breakfast before I started this show. So thank you very, very much
thank
indeed
you, Sarah,
for joining
for having
us.
Me.
You're welcome.
Thanks.